All right, hey everybody, how you doing? It is the Rebecca Juro Show. Yes, that is right, we are back. Yeah, I know we took a little break, but what can I tell you? It happens, it's summertime, what can I do? And, well, at least I came back from Netroots Nation. I got some good stuff for you. We got plenty more to talk about, so check this out. I want to start off with Netroots because I had a really awesome time there. I learned a lot, which was interesting. You know, it's really interesting what you can pick up just talking to people, just getting an idea of where they're at, what they're thinking about, what's important to them, you know, stuff like this. And it's the kind of thing that sometimes, you know, you don't get the same kind of personal interaction on the internet. You know, Facebook, sure, that's great. And you can sit there and you type out your little messages and you post your little stuff, but it's not the same as when you, hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you all year. What's going on? Hey, like, you know, I wanted to ask you about this, blah, 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 blah. You know, those kind of conversations are great. They're wonderful. Like, as a journalist, you love that shit. Okay, so I want to start off with a couple of things. First thing was, well, I think I told you that I was published in magazine, National Magazine, for the first time, The Advocate. Had an article in there. It's still the current issue. Is the August-September issue, which means in reality is the July-August issue. Well, because that's the way magazines work. They always post-date. And the reason they do that, there's a very good reason for that, actually. You know, I've heard people complain about this. How come they always make the date on the magazine a month before it actually is, or 3 months? Why? Because these things go on the newsstand, and they want newsstand dealers to leave those magazines up as long as possible so they can sell as many copies as they can. Well, the later the date you put on there, it still looks like it's current, right? So that's what it is. It's a time-honored tradition. Believe me when I tell you, they've been doing this for decades in journalism, print magazines. So it's just a thing that print magazines do. So anyway, this is actually officially the August-September edition. I've got an article in there about working while trans is the title. I think I mentioned this on the last show. So what I did was I took a copy of this. I figured, what the hell, you know, it's my first national magazine article. You never know who you're going to run into. So I took a copy. I shoved it in the bottom of my bag. I have four copies of this magazine. Well, come on. It's my first national magazine article. What do you expect? Okay. Yeah, of course I have four copies. But in any case, I took a copy, which is like now really beat to shit, because it's been sitting in the bottom of my bag for 3 weeks. But you know, I took it and I occasionally would show it around. Oh, hey, you see my article? Here, check this out. You know, this kind of thing. So, in any case, the first day we get there, now I will tell you, traveling by airlines is not fun. I have never been a big fan of airline travel. I just never have. Now, granted, I haven't done much. Aside from San Jose last year, when I went to Netroots, the previous Netroots, that was San Jose, California. So that was a long ride. Of course, most of you know I'm in New Jersey. So that's a cross-country trip for me. And inevitably, you have to change planes. Now, what was interesting was the last time around, I changed planes in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And then I got to San Jose. And then on the way home, I stopped in Phoenix and came back, which was kind of weird. This time, I went through Chicago, through Midway Airport, not O'Hare, which supposedly is hellaciously awful, terrible, whatever. But I went through Midway Airport, which is no great shakes either, believe me. But what happened was because of the way the timing worked out, I had like a four and a half hour layover in Chicago, which was boring as fuck. I mean, you know, there's nothing to do there. That's the problem, is you just sit on your ass. It's like, you better be sure that your stuff is well charged, you know, your iPad and your phone and all this stuff. Because if you don't have that stuff charged and you can't get to a charging station, you're fucked. You know, I mean, there's nothing. It's like, if you're lucky, you'll find a charging station here and there. They had a few throughout the airport, but you have to search them out. Well, so I sat there. What I was trying to do was, of course, you know, I write for The Advocate, and I have to do a certain amount of work every month. And so what I wanted to do, what I was attempting to do, was I wanted to say, well, okay, I've got this four-hour layover. Let me see what I can do as far as, like, getting some work done. As long as I have to sit on my ass for 4 hours anyway, I might as well try and get some work done. Yeah, good luck with that. okay? Because, well, yeah, you can get a charge, but try getting internet service? Oh, my God. Okay, I made a key mistake. Okay, there's this thing called, I forget what it's called, Boingo, okay? What it is it's like basically airport Wi-Fi that you pay for. Well, I mean, I was not happy, but I said, well, you know what? If I'm going to get any work done, I need net access. So, all right, I'll pay the $8 for the 4 hours. All right, I guess it's worth it. So I go and I put my card in, I take the 8 hours. Well, trying to get connection on this crap is unbelievable. I was like furious. It's like, I just paid you people $8 and I can't even get Facebook to load? Are you shitting me? It was unbelievably, horrifically bad. I mean, the free internet at Netroots Nation, which is never that great, was better than this. I mean, it was just awful. And this I was paying money for. I was livid. Then I discovered another problem, which is an entirely different problem, but a problem that's solvable at least. Trying to type while sitting in a seat with my little iPad and this little Bluetooth keyboard that I have for it is like next to impossible for me because I'm one of these typists. If you ever were standing in the room while I'm typing, while I'm writing, I'm like, pound the keyboard. I have literally broken my keyboard. I hit the keys that hard. Seriously, there is a crack in the corner of my keyboard because I abuse my keyboard as much as I do. Okay, so I trying to write the way I write, sitting at this airport and this tiny little keyboard was like, I wanted to kill myself. I swear to God, it was like, oh my God, oh, well, let's see, I just fucked up everything. Well, let me correct that typo and that typo and that typo and that typo. You know, it was like I spent most of my time doing typos. And then, of course, like I said, you try and do your research. Well, you try and check back on the internet. Well, let's see, I got to include this fact here in my article. So I got to check the internet to make sure I got this all straight and make sure I have the link correct. Well, yeah. If you don't mind sitting there for 5 minutes waiting for the fucking page to load. Oh, my God. I was so frustrated. So I made myself a promise that when I have a couple of bucks, when I finally, you know, well, there's a lot. When you're a freelancer, you know, the money doesn't exactly all come rolling in. It's not like getting a regular paycheck. Well, it kind of is, except you got to wait a really long time for it. So I'm just starting to get paid for work I did 2 months ago. Well, once I get a little money, and I get a little money in the bank, I've decided I'm buying myself a laptop. I have to get a laptop. I mean, this is insane. I can't do anything. It's insane. So I was really frustrated because I couldn't get any work done at the airport. And then, of course, you get on the plane. And I figured, all right, well, let's see. I could probably try at least get some writing done. You know, I can write the parts that I don't need the internet access for. So I tried to get a little work done. I flew Southwest Airlines. Have you ever flown Southwest Airlines? Oh, my God. Now, people complain because the seats are cramped, they're small, it's, you know, delays. We didn't have much problem with delays. But sitting in that seat trying to type on that tiny little tray, it was just, I got to the point where it's like my fingers were cramping because I have to, like, hold my hands next to each other and just kind of, like, finger pick. Which is not my style at all. So I was having a real problem with this. And so what I ended up doing was, after a while of trying to do this, I got about 2 paragraphs done. And finally I said, I can't do this. This is insane. I can't write like this. I know. All right. Yeah, me, big prima donna, can't, you know, big shot writer, can't do, you know, anything on the airline. What kind of fucking journalist are you, right? I know. Some of you are saying, okay. But, I mean, seriously, I got to the point where my fingers were practically cramping because I had to hold my hands so close together in order to type. So finally, I just gave up. I said, fuck this. And I went and I have a novel on my Kindle part. You know, I have the Kindle program on my iPad, so I just called up the Kindle. I said, fuck it, I'm reading. I'll get it all done when I get there. So, we get to Detroit, finally. Get to the hotel. First 2 days. First there was the Netroots Connect get-together, which is basically all the LGBT participants getting together in our own group to talk about LGBT issues, stuff that's relevant to us. And that was, oh, we had a great, great time with that. I mean, I always, always love that part of Netroots, because you get to see people. First of all, you get to see people who you haven't seen in probably a year, or at least I do anyway. You get to talk to people, you get to hang out, and they do groups where it's like, okay, here's a topic, go. And you sit at your table and you debate. I gave a little bitty presentation, all of like 2 or 3 minutes on what we talked about on one of our things. I had a great time with that. It was a lot of fun. And then after that, there was the regular conference. But, you know, the first 2 nights, of course, every night at this thing, there's somebody sponsoring a party for somewhere. Yeah, hey, drop your business card in the bucket and, you know, free beer and whatever, free beer and hors d'oeuvres, or free beer and pizza, or free beer and whatever, and free beer and free beer, you know. Well, the first 2 nights they were doing that, I stayed in. I was a good girl. I stayed in and I wrote. I did. First 2 nights, I was good. I stayed at the hotel and I wrote. Third night, I said, fuck this, I want a drink. And so I decided the third night, which was, let's see, I'm trying to calculate all this in my head. So the first day was Tuesday, the Netroots was Wednesday, Netroots Connect was Wednesday, then there was Thursday, Friday, so Saturday night was the last night, it was the big finale party. And I decided, I don't care. Tonight, I'm drinking. I don't care. I've written enough. I was a good girl all week. Fuck this. I'm drinking tonight. And so they have this finale party. It was at the, I think it was the Detroit Science Museum. It was a lot of fun. There was all these like weird little exhibits all over the place. They had shitloads and shitloads of pizza. And basically beer and wine and a few other things. And, you know, and the thing is I got so wrecked at this party. It was, oh my God. And wait, and it gets better. Then after the party, a few of us went out and went to a bar in Detroit, and we continued to get wrecked. So I was really out of it. By the time I got back to the hotel, I practically just fell down. So that was my one big night. I allowed myself one good drunk for the week. But that was a lot of fun. And what was interesting was, here's a few things I thought were really interesting about Netroots. One thing I discovered. Now, those of you who have followed my work and pay attention to what's going on politically in the community, you know that one of the things that we frequently called the Human Rights Campaign out on as trans folks, and I've done this many times, I know others have done it as well, is, well, how come you guys never hire any trans people? If you're going to, you know, say you support the community, how come you don't hire in the community? How come you don't include us in your decision-making process? How come we have one token on the executive board? Megan Stabler. And I'm sorry, she is a token. I'm sorry. When you only have a single trans person on your board, that's a token. I'm sorry. You need to do better. You know, hey, ring up GLAAD. They'll tell you how to do it. Okay, I've got my issues with GLAAD, but you know what? I'll give them kudos. They've got a co-chair who's trans. They've got three or four trans people on the board. I mean, that's representation. One person out of 50 is not representation. I'm sorry. It's just not. It's tokenism. That's what it is. And Megan Stabler may very well be cool with that, and that's great for her. More power to her. But it's not cool with me, and it shouldn't be cool with you, because that's tokenism. But here's what I discovered that's really amazing. Now, I've had contact. There's somebody, a trans guy. His name is Hayden Mora, who just recently started with HRC in the national office. And I've had contact with him, and he's a pretty cool guy. And I knew he was working for HRC. But that was the only one I knew of. Well, I met another HRC person who's not only an HRC person, but she's like, I think she's in charge of the whole Michigan operation of HRC. Allison. Now, I have to look up her name, because I will mispronounce her name, because it's hard to pronounce. Now, I should have really looked this up before.
Where is it? Oh, okay. I'm not doing this right. I must be misspelling her name. Ah, there it is. Okay. I'm going to try it. I hope I'm not mispronouncing this. Her name is Allison Van Kuyken. Anyway, she was at Netroots. She is apparently one of the leaders, or if not the leader, of their Michigan office. She is, a significant figure in that Michigan organization. And we wound up having a great conversation, you know. And one of the questions I asked her, because I thought it was, like, amazing to me, is, like, why don't I know about you? Why have we never heard of you? We're raking HRC over the coals about their lack of trans representation. And here they are. They're hiring trans folks, and good trans folks, I might add. People who are good and skilled and are not tokens, who are doing real work out there. And nobody fucking knows about it because you don't tell us. What the fuck, man? I mean, do you want us to keep pounding you? I mean, seriously. Why don't you tell us? We complain often enough when you guys do the wrong thing. Why don't you make the slightest effort to let us know when you're doing the right thing? I mean, this is so unbelievably, well, I'll just say it, stupid to me. I mean, this is exactly the kind of thing that we call you out for. And yet, it's almost like you're bending over and saying, hit me, beat me, whack me with a spoon. I mean, what is it? I don't get it. I mean, it's bad enough when you guys don't do the right thing. But then you do the right thing and you don't tell anybody. I mean, you guys don't have a problem when something happens with marriage or with a political issue. You're trumpeting it all over the fucking place. But you don't tell us that you're hiring high-quality trans folks like Allison? What the fuck? So, in any case, Allison and I got into great conversation. She's awesome. I love her. And in fact, I invited her on the show. I'm hoping we're going to have her on soon. I know she had to check with higher-ups, probably in D.C. or something, to get it okay. And I hope she does, because I would love to get into the issues with her, because she really is super smart, and we had a great conversation. And I think it's the kind of conversation I would like to have here on the show. But that's one of the things that I learned this at Netroots. And, it amazes me, because, again, I'm somebody, those of you who have followed my work know that I do not hesitate to call HRC out when I think they're in the wrong. But I've also tried to make it a point, at least when I can, when I know about it, to call them out for doing the right thing as well. To say, hey, good job. We like what you're doing here. More, please. Because I personally think that's fair. I think that's the right thing to do. That you're not credible calling people out for doing the wrong thing unless you're also willing to make as much of an effort to say, hey, nice job. Glad to see you doing this. Kudos. But how can I do that if you don't tell us? I mean, it makes no sense to me. And this is actually one of the things that I discussed with Allison. I said, so much of what HRC does, we never hear about. It's almost like, and I talked about this on the show earlier, it's almost like they want to support trans folks, they just don't want anybody to know about it. It's like the Obama administration, Oh, we're going to very quietly change the regulations to make things better for trans folks. Just shh, don't tell the media. I mean, it's like, I don't get it. It's like, are you guys really that scared of being seen? I mean, are you going to pull a Hillary Clinton? I mean, I should explain what I mean by that. Okay. Back in 2008, back when Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton were both vying for the Democratic nomination, Hillary Clinton was on a network called Logo. Now, back in those days, Logo, before it became the piece of crap that it is today and completely irrelevant and has assholes like RuPaul on it, before that, back when they were still relevant, they actually had a news division. And that news division had this guy, Jason Bellini, that was it. Okay, and he was their news reporter, and he interviewed Hillary Clinton on the air. And one of the questions that he asked Hillary Clinton was, do you support transgender inclusion in ENDA? Now, bear in mind, remember, this is 2008. It was literally just after the major blow-up in 2007 over trans inclusion, you know, the whole Barney Frank betrayal and the Nancy Pelosi fuckover and all that shit. Okay, so people were still pretty pissed off at HRC at that point. And it was a huge, huge issue in the community. So Bellini asks Hillary Clinton this, and you should have heard. I wish I had the tape. I tried to dig it out. Unfortunately, I don't think it's available online anymore, which is a real disappointment because I have never seen a politician twist themselves into such rhetorical knots trying to avoid getting caught on camera saying that she supported transgender people. It was pathetic. It was absolutely pathetic. And it solidified for me as a potential voter and as a, someone who, well, let's be honest, at that time I was a blogger. Okay, I was still writing. I just started a couple years previously with the Blerico Project, so I was a blogger at that point. But it solidified for me. I said, you know what, fuck her. I'm going Barack Obama. I mean, at least he has the courage to say, hey, I think everybody should be protected. But it was so pathetic. She tried to twist herself into rhetorical knots, trying to avoid getting caught on camera. And it was so obvious. That was the other thing. I mean, she wasn't even slick about it. She really wasn't. And I'll be perfectly honest with you. That's one of the reasons why I distrust Hillary Clinton today, because she has never come out as a politician. Now, you know, of course, as Secretary of State, she mouthed the rhetoric of the Obama administration, but I don't count that. So she's not speaking for Hillary Clinton when she's Secretary of State. She is speaking for the policy of the Obama administration. That's a very different thing. She has, in that situation, she has a boss, and her boss is the one who makes policy, and that is the President of the United States. So she is not a mouthpiece for Hillary Clinton. She is a mouthpiece for Barack Obama, a very different thing. Okay, now, since that time, yeah, we've heard all kinds, as Secretary, oh, yeah, we support this, we support that. You know, I have yet to hear her recant. Okay, I'll also point out that and this is going back 12 years, so I don't know. I mean, it's fair to say her views may have changed. I hope they have. But when she was running for the Senate in 2002 in New York, and she was asked if she supported transgender inclusion in the Sexual Orientation Non-Discrimination Act, which was the bill that gave gays and lesbians civil rights back then, she said, you ready for what she said? I mean, have you ever heard anything so ignorant in your life? Well, no, because no one in the gay and lesbian community has asked me to. Yeah, she actually said that. I'm serious. I mean, does she have any idea how ignorant? Probably not. Okay, but again, 2002, things were very different. I would hope that she's evolved a little bit on that. You know, it's 12 years. You don't want to hold somebody responsible for shit they said 12 years ago. But hey, okay, so correct the record, Hillary. We're waiting for you. All cameras are turned on you. You know, but in any case. Moving on. That's the thing. I still don't trust Hillary Clinton because of that. And I'm not a big fan. And I'm not ready to jump on that ready for Hillary bandwagon. Because I don't think she's a very good candidate. I really don't. I think it's Obama part three. I think it's going to be the kind of thing where we saw the same thing where we saw 5.5 fucking years before the guy can pick up a pen and sign a piece of paper to fulfill a 7-year-old campaign promise. You'll forgive me if I'm not entirely impressed by that. It took you 5.5 years to do something. Mr. If Congress doesn't act, I will. It takes you 5.5 years for that, and where everybody's supposed to be, oh, isn't he great, isn't he wonderful, isn't he fabulous? Well, no, he would have been great, wonderful, and fabulous if he did this in his first month in office, which is what he should have done. I mean, you know, and people get angry with me. You know, I got attacked by Babs Kasbar earlier today. Babs, of course, has been on the show many times, is a member of the DNC. You know, she gets all upset when I attack Barack Obama because, you know, according to her, apparently he walks on water. But, you know, then again, she's a party operative, and that's what party operatives do. They spin, and, well, you know, just take that for whatever it's worth. She's not a She's not a reporter. She's not a journalist. She's a spinmeister, and that's what she does. So, you know, she's a professional excuse maker for cowardly Democrats. Okay, and I say cowardly Democrats for a reason, because you know what? If they had the fucking spine, okay, they would. If they had used 1/10 of the effort, I say this all the time on the show, but it's true. If they used 1/10 of the effort they try to use to separate us from our money on passing ENDA when it actually had a chance to be passed, we'd be saying, well, how can we improve that bill, that law today? What can we add? How can we make things even better? No, but instead, well, nah, they couldn't do that because, well, you know, they said, you know, and this is a Barney Frank quote, get us 15 new members of the House and we'll get ENDA passed into law. Now, I don't know if that's an exact quote, but it's close enough. Okay, that's what he said. Democrats gained 20 seats in that election, and the White House had control of the Senate, the White House, and the House. Plenty of votes easily could have passed. So what did we get? Nothing. Sorry. Too bad. So sad. You're not even getting a vote. Have a nice fucking day. Yeah. Oh, no, 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 no. Did we say employment? No, no, no. What we really meant was don't ask, don't tell. What we really meant was we're going to work on the Defense of Marriage Act. Why? Because that's where the money is. You want another 8 years of that crap? Vote for Hillary Clinton. Okay, if you think you got something better, let me tell you what I saw at Netroots Nation. Okay, I saw the Vice President of the United States, Joe Biden, speak. Very nice guy. Very good guy. Always says the right things. I, to be honest, would not have a problem with him as president. Well, not a big problem anyway. And the audience was very receptive. It was basically the speech he gave. It was clearly the first speech of the Biden for President campaign. I mean, you should have heard this guy. I mean, if you get a chance, look up his speech. I'm sure it's online somewhere. Go watch that speech, because I will tell you that that's what it was about. Okay? It was like he was a cheerleader. That's what he was doing. Okay, and hey, the guy wants to be president. I don't blame him. Don't forget, he's run a few times in the past. He ran against Obama. In 2008, he was one of the candidates. So this is a guy who, you know, has an interest. He got a very warm reception. It was enthusiastic. People applauded. Da, da, da. Then the next day, Elizabeth Warren spoke. Oh, my fucking God. You want to know, it was like the Beatles reunited on stage. Everybody is in love with this woman. The left, I mean, there were people who were handing out signs, Liz for president, run Liz, run, people were chanting. Unbelievable support for this woman, okay? Far, far above anything that Joe Biden got. I mean, the progressive left loves this woman. And I'll tell you something else. I would much rather. And she has said, you know, it's funny, because people are chanting, run, Liz, run, run, Liz, run. And all she's doing, she's not saying no, she's not saying anything, she's just saying, okay, sit down, sit down. She's like waving her hands like out, you know, kind of like the way people who are applauding, she's kind of like, you know, trying to get people to sit down and stuff. That's all she did. She didn't say, no, I'm not running, but she said in the past that she has no interest. You know, I tried to get an interview with her. She's got a really snotty little queen of a staffer, but unfortunately, who apparently is not quite as nice as she is. But hey, you know, such is politics. But in any case, I'm telling you, listen to me here. I worked with the Dean campaign. Okay, I was the co-chair of Out for Dean Transgender. Okay, I have done this. Okay, and you know what? Not only have I done it, but I've been successful at it, and I had help, of course. I had a co-chair, Angela Brightfeather, who is awesome, and she was terrific. And I think I've told this story a number of times, but I'll tell it again one more time. Why not? When we were trying to, basically our mission, the name of our organization was Out for Dean Transgender, and our mission was to promote Howard Dean's candidacy to the trans community. We wanted to get trans people rallied behind Howard Dean. And guess what? we were able to do it in large numbers. We grew our list from a tiny little group to literally hundreds of people within a month or two. Why? Because when we went to the Dean campaign and we said, hey, we need a statement from Governor Dean on his position on the employment on transgender inclusion in the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Within 2 days, the Dean campaign got back to us with a personal quote from Governor Dean. And I don't remember the exact quote word for word, but it was along these lines. Hey, I'm a medical doctor. This is a medical condition. There is a prescribed treatment for this. I don't understand what the problem is. And of course, the transgender people should be included. It's ridiculous to even think that they shouldn't be. This is a medical condition that has a set standard of treatment. What's the problem? Wow, that just makes too much sense. And don't forget, this was 2004 when we were still protesting the Human Rights Campaign, when we held two protests outside of their headquarters in Washington, D.C., because they had fucked over the trans community. Okay? So don't forget what the background was here. Okay? Interestingly enough, and this has nothing to do with Howard Dean. Okay? Now, but, well, it does kind of. Later on, unfortunately, as I'm sure many of you know, Howard Dean obviously did not become president. He did not get the nomination. And the reason he didn't get the nomination, at least I believe, is key. Okay, because he was leading the pack. He was the lead candidate at the time this happened. There was a situation. He was on stage during an event. And he was talking about how all the states they were going to go into. And he's screaming like, we're going to go into Iowa. And we're going to go into this one. And he got a little carried away with himself. And he was like, give over. Like just a belly scream kind of thing. He was just, like, really into it, and he just kind of gave, like, a rock star into it, rawr, kind of thing. Well, the media picked up on that, and they just ran this thing over and over and over and over and over until, and they ran it in a way that made Dean seem like an idiot, and it basically destroyed his chances. I mean, it was like, I'll tell you the truth. Honestly, I believe to this day, I believe that if not for that scream, he could have been the nominee. And if he was the nominee, I think he would have won. Because you don't understand. I mean, he was able to galvanize progressives like nobody has ever been before or since. Okay, college students traveling literally thousands of miles cross country to Vermont to work on this guy's campaign. I've never seen a candidate able to mobilize the progressives the way Howard Dean did. Unbelievably amazing. I see the same kind of enthusiasm for Elizabeth Warren. I do. I recognize it. I saw it in my friends. I saw it in our group members. I saw it in myself. Okay? I am telling you, this woman runs... Elizabeth Warren runs for president. She wins. I am telling you, Republicans don't have anyone who can touch this woman. Progressives love her. And she could, I believe, lead a progressive revolution in this country. I am deadly serious about this. Okay? And other people say, oh, well, you know, Hillary has so much support. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, she does. But I'm telling you, there is not the kind of enthusiasm. I mean, yeah, a lot of people like Hillary. They respect Hillary. They think she's a good legislator. They think she's a good political figure. But they love Elizabeth Warren. People are passionate about Elizabeth Warren. People will travel cross country to work on her campaign. I am telling you, she could galvanize the left wing in this country like no candidate we have seen since Howard Dean. Mark my words. She runs, she wins. You can mark that down, and you can remember I said it. Call me out on it in 2016, 2017, whatever. You know, seriously, she runs, she wins. I am telling you. There is such fervor and such respect and such enthusiasm around this woman and what she has to say. If you get a chance, I encourage you, read her book, A Fighting Chance. Really, really good. In fact, it's interesting. It's really interesting that her book was described in one review as Elizabeth Warren isn't running for president, but her book is. And seriously, you read this thing, and it reads like one of those books the candidates release just before they begin a thing, you know, just before they begin a campaign. It really does. It reads like a campaign thing. It really does. And so I find myself getting excited about her because she makes so much sense. She doesn't – yes, she's a politician. Of course she is. She's Senator Elizabeth Warren. But she speaks so well. And you know what? I feel even more confident about her than I ever did about Barack Obama. Yeah, sure, I like Barack Obama. I liked Barack Obama. I started having problems with him. But you know what? I was let down by Obama. I really was. I think once he got in, I think he started listening too much to people like Rahm Emanuel, who said, fuck the gays. Fuck the trans people. We don't need to do that. We got their money. We got their votes. Let's move on to something that will help us. And that's exactly what Obama did. I mean, really. No support for ENDA. No support for any of the workplace rights. It was all about the money. All about, well, let's see, who's got the most money and who's got the most votes that we can score? Oh, look, over here, hey, Latinos. Yeah, let's talk about immigration for a while. Oh, hey, what, gay marriage? Sure, no problem. Yeah, okay, yeah, sure, he started out not supporting it, but geez, isn't it kind of funny the way, just as before another election, ooh, suddenly he decides that he's going to go back to his previous position that he held as an Illinois state senator where he supported gay marriage, and then he changed his mind when he became a candidate for president where he didn't support gay marriage, and then all of a sudden he's supporting gay marriage again. Flippity floppity, flippity floppity, flippity floppity. You know, whatever's convenient for, well, Barack Obama. Okay? I don't see that in Elizabeth Warren. This is a woman who, every time I have seen her speak, every time I have read something from her, it's the same. She doesn't flip-flop. She has a set of values, and she advocates for them. I can respect the hell out of that. You know, I have not, in her entire time in the Senate, and granted, that's not all that long, but in her entire time in the Senate, I have yet to see her flip-flop on anything. Now, I may be wrong. I don't follow every single nuance of what goes on in the Senate. You know, and of course, when you're in the Senate, not that there's actually anything that's really getting done there, mind you, but, you know, there are compromises that are made and things like that. But truth be told, I really don't see her changing anything. For example, she's held, like, the same position on student loans since I've been hearing her speak. And she makes a perfectly perfect argument on it. Well, I mean, this is Elizabeth Warren's argument, basically. Corporations can borrow money from the government at like 0.3% interest. Why can't students do the same thing? I mean, it's funny because, I was talking to a very conservative friend of mine who lives in Florida. He hates Barack Obama. You know, he's not too happy with some of the Republicans. He thinks George Bush was an asshole. But he's basically a Republican. He's basically pretty conservative. And we were talking last night, or I occasionally, because he used to live here in Jersey. We used to go to the punk shows together. And now he's the days down in Florida now, but we still keep in touch. And we're talking about Elizabeth Warren. And I said to him, and he's like, oh, she's ridiculous because she's so far to the left. I said, wait a minute. I said, let me hit you with this and see what you think. I told him the same thing about the student loans. I said, you know, does that make sense to you? He's like, well, yeah, sure. I said, that's Elizabeth Warren. Even you, Mr. Conservative, can get behind something as logical as that. Because, you know, gee, who doesn't support kids going to college? Who doesn't support making it easier for smart kids to get their degrees without coming into a mountain of debt when they graduate? Even conservatives can get behind that. You know what I'm saying? She talks, and yeah, okay, maybe she's a leftist, whatever. But the truth is, she speaks common sense. She doesn't talk in political speak. There's another one. If you can go to the Netroots Nation site. I think it's netrootsnation.org. There's a speech there. Watch her speech. Listen to the crowd when she speaks. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I'm telling you, this woman runs, she wins. Well, who do the Republicans have? Marco Rubio? Paul Ryan? Yeah, he did real well last time. Mitt Romney? Yeah. Oh, he's already given us all the tools we need to smash him into pulp again. I mean, come on, they got nobody. Oh, who are they going to call? Let's run Ted Cruz. Hey, I know. How about Sarah Palin? She's got her own TV channel, right? I mean, they got nobody. They have nobody. They really have nobody. So I think personally, I think whoever Democrat, whether it's Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders has said he'll run. Okay, I don't think, you know, I love Bernie Sanders. I think he's awesome. Except there's two problems with Bernie Sanders. As great as he is a terrific legislator. His values are right up there. He's got two problems with becoming president. Well, three, actually. Number one, most people don't know who the fuck he is because he's a senator from Vermont. And he's independent. And here's the big one. He's a socialist. No, I mean, seriously, he's an actual socialist. Not like calling Obama a socialist. I mean, he is actually a socialist who defines himself as a socialist. Okay, so that right there, that means half the country will not vote for him. The other problem Bernie Sanders has is, as great a politician as he is, as super intelligent as a man as he is, he looks like a troll. He looks like a turtle. Okay, he is not a handsome man. He's an old guy. He's kind of like has no neck. He's an old man. He talks like he's from Brooklyn. I just don't see. I mean, it was the same reason why Dennis Kucinich could never be president. Not because he's not intelligent enough. Because when you tell, what's interesting about Dennis Kucinich is if you poll people, if you talk to people, you poll them, and you give them a choice of policy positions without letting people know who holds these positions. I saw this. This was a whole poll that they did in the last election cycle, where if you just tell people, okay, candidate A supports A, B, C, D, or I think the way they did it last time was they said, okay, vote for the policies that you support. And they give a bunch of various different policy positions. They don't tell you who holds them. And then they figure out, based on those policy positions, who would most likely be president. Guess who wins every single time? Yeah, Dennis Kucinich. Why? Because that's really what people want. Americans are essentially liberal at heart. The problem is that Dennis Kucinich is short. He's not very handsome. He's got big ears. He looks like a troll. Okay? He's not young, handsome, you know, Barack Obama type. Okay? Hillary, yeah, she can get away with it because she's Hillary. You know what I mean? Hillary is already very well known, and she's a figure beyond just that. So I think she could probably get over on that. She could probably not have to deal much with that. But she is a woman, and I guarantee you, Republicans will call that out. But I'm just telling, you know, they just didn't have a chance. Because once those policy positions are linked to a Bernie Sanders or a Dennis Kucinich, then the support drops away. You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that you got the guy who looks like he just stepped off the cover of Ebony. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I think people like Barack Obama because of his positions. They like the fact that they were electing the first black president. But the fact that he was tall and handsome didn't hurt him either, honestly. I mean, seriously. Okay? So, that's the thing. But what I like about Bernie Sanders is he said he's going to run if a real progressive doesn't present themselves. Is he's not going to win. He will never win. Not in a million years. But what he can do is pull the conversation back towards the left, where it needs to be. Because the problem is that for years, Republicans have been pulling the conversation to the right over and over and over. Because it's the Tea Party that's dragging the conversation to the point where it's like, it's not even balanced anymore. And what's starting to happen is the progressives, the real progressives in this country, are saying, you know what? No, we're tired of this crap. What we need is we need somebody like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren to start pulling the conversation over to the left. We need to start talking about student loans. We need to start talking about real immigration policies, not ideological bullshit that the Republicans are trying to throw out. Let's shoot them all. Let's build a 400-foot wall. You know, I mean, let's ship them all back and, you know, put them on a giant ship. Well, I'm making shit up, but you know what I mean. I mean, we need to get out of this ridiculous rhetoric. I think, you know, now, would Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders as president solve all our problems? Fuck no, because chances are we ain't getting this Congress back. If we're lucky, if Democrats are lucky, maybe they'll hold on to the Senate. Hopefully they'll hold on to the Senate. I don't think they have much chance of holding on to or regaining the House. Because shit is so gerrymandered right now. Because, of course, Republicans took the advantage. And instead of Democrats doing what they had to do to protect their seats, they waited until Republicans got in office. Then Republicans just fucked it all up because, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, the whole election system is the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen. I mean, whoever the party in power is controls the state's elections, which is kind of like having a baseball game and having umpires from one team that are wearing one team's uniforms. I mean, don't you think? I mean, it's the most ridiculously unfair system I've ever seen. It's certainly not fair. I question whether it's even American. It's like, we're going to give the... You know, we're just going to trust one partisan party, and we're going to put partisan operatives from one party in charge of running the elections, and we'll just trust that they're going to be fair. Yeah, we see how well that works in other countries, don't we? We make jokes about the way those things work in Russia and Iran and Iraq and places like that. We say, oh, yeah, we would never do that shit here, right? But that's exactly what we do here. In every state in the nation, whichever party is in power gets to control the elections. It's ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. There should be a federal Department of Elections that monitors and runs and is the last word in terms of operation on every single state and local election in this country. Both ways. And what that department would be charged with would be preventing all party operatives, not just Republicans, but Democrats as well, from gaming the system for their own partisan benefit and saying, you know, like, Secretary of State of Ohio, you can't cut out early voting because it's inconvenient for Republicans. You can't have these bullshit voter protection crap that disenfranchises minority voters because minority voters tell you to go fuck yourselves because you're fucking racist assholes. No, you can't do that. Why? Because we live in a country with one person, one vote. It's the most ridiculous system ever devised. And yet nobody seems to want to do anything about this. I mean, I don't hear any Democrats talking about this. What there should be is there should be, and this is my opinion, every 10 years, like the census, like they do it now. This is when redistricting happens. Every 10 years, you have this nonpartisan department that says, okay, what we are going to do is we are going to redesign all the districts in the United States. And this is a big job, but it's only every 10 years. We are going to redesign every district according to population. In other words, fairly. And if you happen to be in a district that has majority black voters or majority whatever voters, we are not going to allow you to gerrymander. You're going to get what you get. We are going to divide that shit right down the middle. We are going to divide it evenly in terms of population, regardless of who is in your district. And if you happen to get caught with, well, a lot of Latinos and not enough white people, too bad. Tough shit. And if you happen to get caught with a lot of white voters and not any black voters and you're a black candidate, well, too bad on you, too. The racial and ethnic diversity of the districts that are being created should have no bearing whatsoever. Population. Okay, here's a district. I'm making these numbers up, but let's say, okay, we're going to have 1 million people in this district. Boom. Okay, here's where that district ends. Here's the next one. 1 million people. Boom. Okay, or you do it geographically. And say, okay, let's say, I'm making this up again. All right, let's say New York City, Manhattan, from 42nd Street up, that's one district. From 42nd Street down, that's another district. Doesn't matter who lives there. Doesn't matter, you know, that's it. That's what the district is, or whatever, or three districts, however they do it. Okay, that's what you do. You say, oh, well, X number of million people live in this district, X number of million people live in that district, and you make them as evenly as you can. And that's it. You don't take into account, oh, well, there are more blacks than Latinos and blah, 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 blah. None of that, because that's what's fair. You pays your money and you takes your chances. If you don't like it, move the fuck out. Go to another district. Not our problem. Now, that's not going to harm people in probably the strongest blue or the strongest red, the deepest blue states, probably not going to make that all that big a difference. Because what would the difference really mean? If you're in a district that's deep blue and they rearrange it a little bit and say, well, okay, we're going to cut you off and, you know, put you up against this other deep blue district, you're not going to really notice the difference. Because the people who live there are going to elect the people that they want, whether that's red or blue. So if you're strong, if you have a strong population of either one, if there's imbalance there, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. And so
let's see,
Mike Rogers is saying hello. So anyway, people are messaging me while I'm online, just so you know. I have Mike on one end. I have my friend Robin is Facebooking me at the moment. I'm trying to, like, communicate with people while I'm talking to you occasionally. What happens is I stop talking because it's like I can't say it. I'm hiding? Mike says I'm hiding. Why am I hiding? I don't know. How am I hiding? I don't understand. Can't see you been online unless... Can't see you online. I've been listening all hour. Well, okay, I know why that may be, because I haven't had my Facebook page open. I've been doing other things. I've been blah blah blahing about Netroots and stuff. And so anyway, but in any case, that's what I think we should just do that. I think that it's time to have a federal Department of Elections. And just say, you know what? You don't like it? Too bad. This is what it is. You don't like it? Move out of your district. Go to another district. Not our problem. This is the way it is. That's free and fair elections to me. When you allow one team to say, well, we're going to set the rules for the game, how can that be fair? It is inherently unfair. That's what it is. And I, I think we have to. Otherwise, this is what's going to happen. That's what has to happen. Otherwise, if you allow Republicans to game the system like they're doing, and let's be honest, it is Republicans to a large extent. I'm not saying Democrats are innocent completely. But if you allow either side to game the system the way they're doing it now by gerrymandering, you inherently make elections unfair. And what right do we have to call out nations like Iraq and Iran and Russia, and we say, oh, yeah, they're not democracies because they rigged their elections? We rig our elections, too. I mean, you know, what moral high ground do we have to go and lecture other countries about the way they hold their elections when we do such a crappy job of it ourselves? I mean, it's hypocrisy. It's just complete hypocrisy. And that's what it is. I'm sorry. I think the problem is, and I think we've seen this, that chances are, I think it highly unlikely, unless, I mean, and of course, it's politics, anything is possible. You know, again, nobody knew who the fuck that Obama guy was at this point in 2006. And then all of a sudden he showed up magically, and suddenly he's the nominee. You know, don't forget, everybody thought Hillary was the anointed, remember? I mean, those of you who are around, I know some of you are maybe a little younger, but if you were around in 2006 at this point, Hillary was the anointed. Everybody thought she was going to be the nominee. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, here comes Barack Obama, and guess what? Surprise! So, unless something like that happens on the Republican side, as far as the candidates that we know of so far, I don't see them having any candidate who has the enthusiasm around them to defeat Hillary or to defeat any Democrat. So I think at this point, now, of course, again, you know, things change, we don't know. But at this point, I don't see any Republican winning the White House. Well, but what good does that do if you've got all these districts gerrymandered so ridiculously that they basically, there's no way for a Democrat to win them? I mean, I mean, how much more blatant cheating? I mean, it's what it is. It's cheating. It's saying, I'm going to use my authority as the person charged with creating free and fair elections and use them. I'm going to use those rules and I'm going to twist them and manipulate them to favor my own party. I mean, if this was happening in another country, we would be calling them out for all kinds of things. But somehow we tolerate it right here at home. Why is that? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I really don't. I'm sorry. I really, really don't. But in any case, well, I'll tell another story. Because I know Mike Rogers is listening. And I wanted to tell this story. Actually, I wanted to tell Mike this story, but I didn't get a chance earlier because he was busy. So I'll tell this story online. What the heck? When we were at the hotel at Netroots, I think it was the second or third night we were there. Now, I should describe this hotel. Okay, if you've ever seen a picture of the GM building in Detroit, that huge tower with the GM sign at the top. Okay, well, we were right in that, just to the right. If you're looking at that tower, the hotel we were in was literally just to the right of that. It was actually part of that building. And it was right on the water. Now, if you go, you look to your left as you walk out the door. If you look to the left as you walk out the door of the hotel, you could see right across, there's the lake, I think it's Lake Michigan or Superior, I forget which one. But anyway, Windsor, Canada is literally right across. I mean, at one point they were holding a concert and you could hear the music. I mean, you could tell what they were playing. It was, so in any case, so one night I go downstairs, it was 3:00 in the morning. I'm going downstairs. I couldn't sleep. I go downstairs to have a cigarette. Now, the way this hotel was set up, the regular lobby was on one floor, and then the place where you actually pick up cabs and cars and actually get out to the street was two floors down. You had to take another elevator to get there. So I go down to what's called the motor lobby, which is where all this stuff is. And I go out. Now, bear in mind, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm wearing T-shirts and jeans. I have no makeup on. My hair was kind of messy, okay? And I go, and I light up a cigarette. Same place, same area where everybody goes to smoke. And I get this woman, one of these women. She's obviously like the bellhop or whatever the hell they call the people who call for cabs. She comes over. Hey, what are you doing? Can you go down over there for me? And, like, shooing me away. Looked at her, like, you know. And she referred to me as sir, which I wasn't too thrilled with. Now, I am willing to overlook that part of it because, again, didn't have any makeup on, wasn't wearing my tits, was wearing jeans and a T-shirt. So I can overlook that part of it. But she was like, say, can I call you a cab somewhere? Like, excuse me? No, I'm a guest here. Thank you. I mean, she was walking around like a cop. It was really kind of rude. She treated me like I was some drunk off the street. I wanted to tell I called her an asshole. I did. I called her an asshole. And I mean, because she was an asshole. I mean, she was really quite rude. And I was, so what I did was, I didn't get upset. I didn't get angry and all pissed off. Well, maybe a little, but I walked upstairs. I finished my cigarette and I came back into the hotel and I walked over. I went back up the elevator to the main lobby where the front desk is. And I walked over where one of the front desk folks is. And I said, look, I don't want to cause a problem, but I had a problem. And I quickly described what had happened. I said, I thought that was kind of rude. Regardless of whether she was wrong about my gender or, whatever, the way she interacted with me was rude. She treated me like I was some drunk off the street. And I was kind of a little annoyed by that. And so I just made my dissatisfaction known. I said, everybody else was wonderful, not going to cause problems here, just wanted you to know. And then that was it, and I went back up to my room and went to bed. But it was like, you have a hotel here where you have trans folks here. I mean, this is fucking Netroots Nation, hello, okay? Not to mention the fact that they had a science fiction convention in the same hotel, and trans folks were there too. I know because I met a couple of them. So you have trans folks in your hotel, are you telling me that this person is so fucking ignorant that they are that inept at dealing with transgender people? So she was like, like I said, I could maybe forgive for the misgendering because, again, jeans, T-shirt, wasn't wearing makeup. But, I mean, not the way she spoke to me. Like I was some drunk off the street. It's like, fuck you. I'm a guest here. I didn't say fuck you, but I wanted to, but I didn't. I decided I wasn't going to go there. I did call her an asshole. I was not happy with that. And that was my only really negative experience. Well, not my only negative experience. I also had a time when we had one of the attendees that is in our group. There's a guy named Scotty. I forget his last name. But he's in a wheelchair. And at one point, I was pushing him around, and I was getting him because the place where Netroots was taking place was actually a couple of blocks away from the hotel. So you had to get him there. Well, getting him from the lobby of the hotel to what was called the People Mover, which is kind of like this monorail thing that circled around the downtown of Detroit. Getting him to this thing was like, it was like a video game. It's like you got to find the secret door that leads to the secret stairway that leads here and turn left and open here. It was like, maybe this was wheelchair accessible, but I mean, God, I mean, I could have walked the thing myself 3 times with the amount of hassle that it took just to get to the transportation. Unbelievable. I mean, every time we kept getting stopped. Oh, look, it's another escalator. Shit, we can't go this way. It was really, really inconvenient for those who had to deal with wheelchairs. And in fact, what happened was I have a bad back. And he had a knapsack with him, which is about 75 pounds of crap I'm hauling at the same time I'm pushing him. By the time we got to the Cobo Center, we got up to the second floor, we're getting there, and finally my back just gave out. I wound up on the floor. I couldn't do it. I just fell out. I was a fucking cripple for like the rest of the day. It was really, really horrible. And so basically what I did was I went, there was an event, one of the panels I absolutely had to attend, that I wanted to attend. It was the Trans and Allies. And I had to attend that. I mean, I felt that that was one of the things I most wanted to go for. So I couldn't miss that. So I made sure I was in a lot of pain by that point. But I suffered through it. I got through it. And then I went back to the hotel. And there was a CVS in the hotel. I bought some Advil. I took Advil and I went and crashed for 3 hours. And fortunately, that did me enough so that I was able to get up a few hours later, get ready and go to that party where I got myself utterly plastered. And by then I was feeling no pain anyway. So, but it was like, oh, that was really rough. Because again, I didn't have a problem pushing Scotty around. That was no problem. What my problem was pushing Scotty around with 75 pounds on my back was a major problem. You know, I did my best. I got him there. I got him within 100 yards of where we were going. I just couldn't make it that last part. It was just, oh my God. So, and then of course the following day, I had to sling my bag over my shoulder and back to the airports, up 2, 3, 4. That wasn't exactly thrilling, although I did better there. I'll tell you one thing I learned. Not only am I buying myself a laptop over the course of, before I go back, I need one of those suitcases with the wheels. Seriously, I need one of those because I am not dragging something over my shoulder. I'm 53 years old. I can't be doing this shit anymore. I want the, I don't care. Call me a pussy if you want. I want something with wheels. That's what I want. I don't feel like dragging the thing on my shoulders. I just can't. I just can't do it anymore. I mean, I did it. I managed. But no, next year is going to be different. I am not doing this again without stuff. I mean, I am going regardless, but I gotta get that thing. I gotta get the laptop and I gotta get one of these suitcases with the wheel so I can just drag the thing behind me. It's so funny because my mother, who's 74 years old, I'm having this conversation with her. She says, "Well, what do you need that for? You're fine. You'll be." I used to take that when I used to take your grandmother. We go to California. I said, "Yeah, when you were what, Ma? 35?" It's like, I'd like to see you try that now. You know, and it's like, she seems to think that because she's so much older than my brothers and I, that, you know, we're all, like, super strong and we can't possibly, you know, but it's just like, you know, you remember the 52-year-old part? Yeah, okay. I don't throw boxes around warehouses anymore for a reason, you know? And it's not just because I'm taking estrogen. It's because I'm 52 years old and I don't do that shit anymore. But in any case, that's the thing. I had a great time at Netroots. I really did. Because, again, part of it is, you know, you go to these panels, you learn a lot, you talk to people. But the best part about it, for me, the best part is the networking. And you meet all these new people and you say, and you develop relationships. Like Allison Van Kuyken. I mean, I think she's awesome. I'd never met her before. I didn't even know, you know, people like that. What are people who I roomed with? Jason Parsley, who's a South Florida Gay News. Looks like I'm going to be doing a column for them, which is kind of cool. So I not only did I meet cool new people, but I came home with more work, which is kind of cool. There's a lot of good stuff as a result. And I always have a good time, you know. And I met all kinds of interesting people. There's pictures online. If you want, If you want to see a few pictures, go to my profile on Facebook, and there's pictures there. But yeah, it's great. I have a good time. I always have a good time when I go to these things. I go to convening and the Haas thing, you know, and I always have a good time there because, you know, like I say, yeah, sure. The programs are great and they're useful and they're informative and they're educational and all that good stuff. But the best part is just hanging out with people and I get into a great conversation, for example, with Zach Ford from Think Progress, who you may read. If you read a lot of the better, well-written LGBT journalism, Zach Ford's the name that's going to pop up a lot. And he and I got into a great conversation about where did and I'll throw this out here. I'll throw out this question that we were tossing around and see if you think that you have an answer to this. Give me a call. 646-564-9501. And here's the question that Zach and I were tossing back and forth. Should a drag queen, who is a drag queen, in other words, somebody who says, essentially, publicly, I am a guy who dresses up as a woman. We were talking about Conchita Wurst. Okay, now Conchita Wurst, as you may know, just won Eurovision. Very exciting. Okay, but has said publicly that he is a man and that Conchita Wurst is a character. It's all face paint and glitter. It's actually a bearded drag queen. Okay, identifies as a man, has said so publicly. Should a person like that be allowed in the ladies' room? My argument is that no, I'm sorry. This is a person who identifies as a man. Nobody is saying you have no right to identify. You have no right. Nobody is saying that ever. But if you say I am a man, then you use the men's room. Why? Because Conchita Wurst is not a real person. Conchita Wurst is a construct of paint and glitter it's a performance. It's a fictional character. As this person, this guy, Tom Neuwirth is his real name, has said repeatedly. I mean, this is not my opinion. This is the creator of the character saying this is not a real person. So, I'm sorry, but if you identify as a man, you don't get to claim womanhood. You just don't. I'm sorry. And Zach was like, well, you know, there are safety issues. I said, yeah. So you're saying that we should be concerned, we should prioritize the safety of a man who dresses up as not just a woman, not just a drag queen, but a bearded drag queen? And we're supposed to prioritize that person's safety? Are you serious? What about the safety and comfort of all the women in that ladies' room? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. We have a very low bar to inclusion in the transgender community. You're one of us if you say you are. You identify as a trans woman? Congratulations. Welcome to the party. Use the ladies' room all you like, ma'am. But not when you say, no, I'm a guy. No, guys use the men's room. I'm sorry. Now, personally, the way I think we should ultimately solve that problem is by having all-gender bathrooms. In other words, the way that they do it in Europe. In much of Europe, because I'm not really familiar, but I've seen this in Europe, the bathrooms are not gender specific. They're just restrooms. You go in, you go into the stall, you close the door, you do your business, you wash up and you leave. You know, they're not as hung up on this shit in Europe as we are. I mean, what do they expect is going to happen? I mean, we already know that the trans as predator meme is bullshit. We've known that for decades. But because Jesus, you know, that's always the argument. Because Jesus told us to hate you, you know. I mean, it's really, God, I mean, every time you hear about something like this, really, it just shows you how backwards, compared to the rest of the world, American culture is. I mean, the fact that we're still discussing this, well, I mean, England, France, even other European countries, the Netherlands, you know, they've all long since passed this. This is laughable to them. Please, Great Britain has transgender people in their military and has for a decade. How about this? And I just learned this when I interviewed Allison Robinson at Netroots Nation. So keep an eye out for this. This interview is going to show up at The Advocate. And in fact, I may even get in touch with Allison and ask her if it's okay with her. I may even play that interview for you next week on the show, if she's okay with that. I have to ask permission because I didn't before. And I always do that because I wrote the interview. I conducted the interview with the intention of publishing it at The Advocate. And that's totally okay, you know, but if I'm going to use it on the show, I feel obligated to check with that person and ask permission, because otherwise, to me, that would be false pretenses. So, in any case, when I was speaking to Allison, one of the things that she said that, frankly, knocked me for a loop was that not only have trans people been accepted in the UK military for well over a decade, but how about this one? They were in the military before gay people in Britain. How about that shit? Trans people have been in the British military longer than gays. How about that shit? Okay, that's how far ahead Europe is of us. I mean, it's insane. We are such a backwards nation. We really are. Culturally, it's a joke. I mean, we're a joke. I mean, we should be ashamed of ourselves. This is exactly why we need somebody like Elizabeth Warren as president. Somebody who's not going to curl up into a ball and put all her values on the shelf when it becomes politically inconvenient, like Barack Obama does. The people who, you know, she's not going to be one of the people who says, well, you know, I believe all these things, but I'm going to just pretend that I don't because it's not politically convenient for my Democratic friends. You know, we need better than that. And that's why we need better than Hillary Clinton. You know, because I'm telling you, I think Hillary Clinton is Obama Part 3. I don't want another 8 years of this crap. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's done more than anyone else. But you know what? Compared to what? Who? Bill Clinton, the guy who gave us Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the Defense of Marriage Act? Compared to George Bush, the guy who tried to get a federal marriage amendment passed? Compared to who? Ronald Reagan? 6 years of silence on AIDS? I mean, who exactly are we comparing this guy to? You know what I mean? And it's like the same bullshit. Everything. Oh, Obama's done more for us than any president in history. It's like, yeah, he has. You know, but yeah, he didn't make it. I mean, basically, it's like saying, well, he didn't make things worse. You know what I mean? It's like if your bar is set really that low. I mean, that's really kind of sad, I think. And the fact that you will settle for so low and think so little of your values that you're not willing to fight for them by electing somebody who really reflects them. Instead, you're going to vote for a centrist corporatist like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. If you really think so little of your values that you're willing to settle for that, well, then you deserve what you get. On the other hand, if you want to be an idealist, if you think you should vote your values and you really believe in progressive values and you think that you want real progressives in office, well, then you got to vote for somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders. I mean, even if the guy is never going to win, even if that's not going to happen. You got to do it. You got to do it. You got to take a stand. You got to say, this is the candidate that reflects my values. And even if down the road, when it's time to actually go into that booth and pull that lever, your choice is not on the ballot, you show support when you can to say, no, I'm over here. This is who I want. That lets people know. Seriously. I think we have to do that. Because, again, Barack Obama, yeah, he did stuff. He just did stuff. I mean, literally, the executive orders, last week, the one that said, that added gender identity to the protections against federal employees, which I would point out wasn't there for 5.5 fucking years while he's been president. He also did one that added gender identity to, the federal contractors. That was gay and lesbian and trans. Okay? I mean, I'm sorry. You know, call me selfish, call me impatient, call me whatever you want. I don't think it should take 5.5 fucking years for a so-called progressive president to pick up a pen to fulfill a 7-year-old campaign promise to protect the civil rights of all Americans. I'm sorry. I don't think it should take that long. And the fact that it does tells me that this guy is not a real progressive. He's a centrist. He listens to his advisors who tell him, oh, don't do anything that would shake up anybody. We don't want to upset the conservatives because, you know, if we just make the conservatives happy, they'll all line up behind us, rah, rah, rah. Okay, I mean, there seems like they're still living in that fantasy world. You know, and it's only recently that Obama has finally figured out, well, they're not going to support you no matter what you do, dude. Why don't you learn this? Why didn't you learn this your first year in office and just do your agenda instead of trying to make these bigots happy, instead of trying to make excuses for the bigotry in your own party, for the cowardice in your own party, for the refusal to stand up for the values you say that you support? Why did you make excuses while people are suffering, while people are homeless, while people are losing jobs, and you're twiddling your thumbs while America burns? Or at least LGBT America. But hey, you know, we'll take care of those immigration. You know, we're going to pass the DREAM Act and we're going to sign an executive order for these guys and for these guys and for those guys. You know, I mean, granted, he didn't issue as many executive orders as Bush or Clinton, but I mean, they're flying out pretty quick and fast. I mean, first day in office with Lilly Ledbetter Act, right? Remember that? Equal pay for women? He didn't have any problem doing that. So it's like, well, you know, straight women, yeah, hey, we're gonna fight for you. We're gonna do that on day one. Oh, what, you're queer? Sorry. End of the line, motherfucker. Yeah, we'll get to you someday when it's politically convenient for us. Yeah. No. The rich people, they go to the head of the line. You wait. Oh, and if you're trans, yeah, you're gonna wait even longer. I mean, is it any wonder that you got politicians, fake progressives like Andrew Cuomo, governor of New York, who won't even, he's such a fucking coward, such a fake progressive, that he won't even mention transgender people? I mean, is this really what we consider the best that the Democratic Party has to offer? Is this really what we should be settling for? Don't we deserve better than Barack Obama? Don't we deserve better than Andrew Cuomo? Don't we deserve better than Hillary Clinton? Don't we? Don't we deserve better than Nancy Pelosi? I mean, seriously. How much longer are people going to keep making excuses for these people failing us? You know, and they all want to celebrate. Oh, look at what he did. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he courageous? And after 5.5 years, he finally picked up his pen. No, not really. Oh, and isn't it awfully convenient, don't you think? that all of a sudden Obama finds his pen just as a midterm election season, in which the Democrats are expected to lose, is about to start? Isn't that just so damn convenient, don't you think? I mean, really. Hey, fuck it. You can wait 5.5 years, right? Your family can hang on, you know? Just a few more months in that shelter. You know, a few more months on food stamps. Don't worry about it. We'll get to you. It's not convenient for us. Yeah, you know, hey, don't worry, Andrew Cuomo. Yeah, you know, I mean, after all, sure, trans people are getting thrown out of their jobs, kicked out of their homes, you know, but hey, don't worry about it. You've got a presidential run to worry about, right? So it's not like, you know, we count or anything. And this is what you get. When this is what you settle for, this is what you get. Honestly, don't we deserve better than that? Don't we deserve better than a Massachusetts law that has so many holes in it you could drive a fleet of trucks through it? Don't we deserve better? I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just I'm a little frustrated. I've been around a little bit too long. I don't know. All I can say is I'm sick of it. I'm tired of people trying to, you know, I mean, you know what was the most offensive thing to me? I was actually getting into a discussion with a few people about this earlier on Facebook. You know what I found most offensive? Because it doesn't say something about politicians. It says something about our own community. At Pride this year, in New York, Andrew Cuomo, the guy who just dumped trans people and threw us under the bus for, what is it now, the sixth time that the gender bill has gone down in New York, I believe? Sixth, seventh, I've lost track. The gay community, those wonderful allies of ours, treat this guy like he walks on water. Oh, thank you for marriage, Governor Cuomo. Yeah, why would this guy come out for trans people? After all, it doesn't mean, you know, why should he? Doesn't matter. The gay community is going to worship and kiss his feet no matter what this fucker does because marriage. And you think that that gives you the right to call yourself an ally? Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you and the float you rode in on. I mean, it's offensive. I'm sorry. You go and you think this guy walks on water. Nobody dares to challenge this guy. Nobody, I mean, everybody says, oh, yeah, everybody's doing stuff. Everybody's, you know, fighting for your rights. Yeah, bullshit, okay? You didn't want to know dick when marriage was all about. You're all like, oh, yeah, we'll come back for you. It's that same bullshit lie we were hearing in 2002. It was bullshit then, it's bullshit today, and you guys are still full of it. I'm sorry. But you don't get to call yourself an ally of the trans community when you look the other way as this asshole throws us under the bus repeatedly, and then you worship at his feet and think he walks on water because he gave you everything you want. No, I'm sorry, that's not an ally. You don't get to call yourself an ally when you act like that, when you don't hold these people accountable. Allies, stand up. You don't. You don't honor bigoted politicians with floats in parades, in pride parades, and cheer him as he goes waving down the street. That's not the behavior of allies. That's the behavior of selfish assholes who don't give a shit about anybody but themselves. Yeah, you heard me. I am fed up with this crap. And we've seen it over and over and over. I mean, here, I'll give you another example. How about New Hampshire? Remember that one? Yeah, they were going to enshrine, they got gay rights. They got gay marriage. Did you hear anybody mention trans folks? No. Then they were saying, oh, isn't it wonderful? They're going to enshrine gay rights into the New Hampshire Constitution. Oh, but forget about those trans folks. Did you hear a single gay person say, hey, wait a minute? Did you hear one? I certainly didn't, and I pay attention to these things. I scan the internet every day looking for stories like that. I certainly didn't hear any major organization come out and say, hey, this is wrong. No, because once the gay community gets what they want, hey, we're done. Let's just applaud. Let's just, because all we give a shit about, all we care about, the only thing that we are going to make up our minds about what we think about the politicians is what they do for us. For us, for the wealthy, non-trans, cisgender, gay people. The trans people, they can wait another 10, 15 years. Not our problem, right? See it over and over and over. And I know there's a lot of people in the gay community that aren't going to want to hear that, but you know what? I'm sorry. It's the truth. We've been seeing it over and over and over. We saw it in 2002 when the Empire State Pride Agenda physically barred trans people and our representatives, including, I would add, State Senator Tom Duane, from even participating in the discussions. Okay? We've seen it over and over and over. Okay? Did you hear anybody complaining? Did you hear anybody talking about it when gay marriage was on the table? Did you hear anybody pushing Governor Cuomo to do that? No, why should they? Because marriage. Because that's all that matters. Because selfish bastards don't think of anybody but themselves. Me first. Me, me, me. Me, me, me. Me, me. Money, money, money. Me, me, me. Here's my money. Here, let me throw my money at you. Me, me, me. Mine, mine, mine. Money, money, money. And then you know what happens? Goodbye. All the money, all the media, all the attention. Oh, well, let's. Oh, no, we've got more marriages to fight for. I'm sorry. You know, like I said, I know there's a lot of gay people who aren't going to want to hear that, but you know what? I don't give a shit. We've been looking the other way for too damn long. It's time that people remember that if you want to call yourself a transgender ally, you have to act like one. You don't get to take that status for free without standing up. And that means to your pet politicians, too. You don't get to look the other way. You don't get to let Andrew Cuomo ride on celebrating on floats and waving and cheering him as he fucks over the trans community repeatedly and still get to call yourself an ally. You just don't. Sorry. That's not the way an ally behaves. And if you don't like that, well, you know what you can do to change it. Start acting like a real ally instead of a selfish bastard. I mean, seriously. We heard excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse for years and years and years and years. Over and over and over. Don't worry, we'll come back for you. We promise. Yeah, we've seen your promises. We've seen the result of your promises. What you really meant was we'll come back for our own shit and then bail on you. That's what you really did. Okay? Because all of a sudden, once you got yours, gay community, then all the money disappeared, all the attention disappeared, all the publicity disappeared. Nobody wants to pay attention. Well, we're on our own now, just like we've always been. Seriously. And then they wonder why we're so angry. And then they wonder why we don't trust when they start to shovel this bullshit at us yet again. Oh, you're not team players. You guys should help celebrate this wonderful progress. Yeah, no. Progress for you, asshole. Not progress for us. They don't see that. Because, you know, their lives are better. So, you know, everybody should get in line and happily march along with our rainbow flags and rah-rah. You. fuck you and your rainbow flag, because that rainbow flag doesn't mean shit. You should design another flag for gays and lesbians only, because that's the flag you're flying. You're not flying a community flag. You're not flying anything that represents LGBT people. You are flying a flag, gays and lesbian only. Own it. Own it. If you're not going to be a real ally, then call yourself what you are, selfish bastards who only care about themselves. Sorry. I mean, I'm just fed up with it. I mean, how much effort did we see around this last one? The last time it went down. Seriously. How much did we see? How much effort did we see? You know, if we did see any, I'm sure having a hard time telling. I live in the New York area. I certainly didn't see any advertising. I didn't see any activism, aside from our own community, aside from the trans community. Yeah. I think there were a few radio ads that ESPA, Empire State Pride Agenda, paid. Yeah. Remember what it was like when the marriage was up? Oh, yeah, we got ads every other 5 minutes. Millions and millions of dollars worth of shit. It seemed like they couldn't spend enough. They were flush with money. Now, well, you know, hey, we got ours. Fuck you. That's what it is. And this is why we learn every single time. Only fools and suckers trust anyone who tries to say, don't worry, we'll come back for you. Okay? How do you know they're lying? Because they always are. What they really mean is, sorry, we're going to the head of the line, and you can fend for yourselves. Fuck you. That's what it means. I'm sorry. Because we've seen it over and over and over. And you know what? You want to change that perception? You know what you got to do. But you won't do it because you don't give a shit. Because none of the people who are your gay activists are going to turn around and call out the governor for fucking over trans people when they're still worshiping at the altar of marriage. Because they don't give a shit about whether trans people can have jobs. They don't care whether trans people can eat. They don't care whether trans people are homeless. They care that, oh, they got theirs. So they're done. Let's go to the next deck party. Yeah, that's what we're doing. I mean, seriously. I mean, how many times do we have to see it? And so people that try and call me out and say, oh, you don't appreciate anything because, you know, all you care about, you're just attacking your allies. It's like, no, I'm not attacking allies because allies don't behave the way that you do. They're not real allies. Selfish bastards who think only of themselves and put little to no effort in, okay, and wait until everything else is done and all leverage is lost. And then say, throw up their hands and say, gee, well, you know, just we can't do anything now. Yeah, because you expended all your political capital on yourselves. And then you say, oh, gosh, well, see, sorry. Yeah. Okay, sorry. That's not the way an ally behaves. That's the way a selfish bastard behaves. It just is. I'm sorry. It just is. Now, I have to tell you, I think I'm going to be ending the show a little bit early. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but my voice is starting to go a little bit. So I'm going to try and stick this out for a couple more minutes. Ugh, drinking cold coffee, which is disgusting. But my voice is not doing well. So probably because I've been shouting for an hour and three quarters. I'm sorry. I think that we have the right, as a community, as a trans community, to say to the gay community, and whether it's in New York or New Hampshire or wherever it's appropriate, to say, you know what? If you want to be considered an ally, you don't get to use that title unless you walk the walk. You don't get to talk the talk unless you walk the walk. And states like New York, you're not walking the walk. You need to start standing up to your own governor. You need to start standing up to your own pet politicians and saying, if you don't do this, let's see the gay TM close for us. Let's see that happen. I don't hear about anybody willing to withdraw support for Andrew Cuomo or New York Democrats or New York Republicans, for that matter, unless they get this done. I don't see it. No. But, boy, they were sure ready to do it when it was about gay marriage, weren't they? Yeah, no. And now, well, it's only trans people. So everybody's, the gay TM is open and spewing money in all directions. Yeah, no problem. Here, let me write you another check, asshole politician. Let me write you another check. Here, continue your transphobia unabated. Here, money, 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 money. Why? Well, you know, you took care of me, so. I'm sorry. Not the behavior of an ally. You don't get to use that term. You don't get to use it. I'm sorry. You don't get to call yourself an ally when you don't act like one. When you gain rights for yourself at the expense of the little guy, and then you fuck over the little guy and you turn your back and leave, those are not the actions of an ally. You don't get to call yourself an ally when you behave like that, which is exactly what New York's gay community is doing. Every time you see Andrew Cuomo waving to the crowd, cheers, every gay person waving their gay flags. I mean, I wasn't there. I couldn't put up with seeing that offensive crap in person. I saw it on TV, though. Oh, and Andrew Cuomo, everybody's cheering, and oh, isn't it wonderful, and holding up signs saying, thank you, Governor Cuomo. Yeah. Did you see any trans folks? You know why we weren't there? Can you guess? Can you guess? Because you guys in New York have made it quite clear who you care about and who's welcome and who's not. Yeah, sure, we could go to Pride, and oh, nobody's going to have a problem with us being there. But if you think that we're considered part of that community, if you think that we're considered, our rights are considered on a par with gays and lesbians, if you think that it's going to change any of the worshiping of Andrew Cuomo because he has done dick for transgender people, clearly that's not the case. They don't care. They don't care whether we live or die, and they proved it. They've proven it every single year. I'm sorry. If you want to be calling yourself an ally, if you want to say you stand, I mean, it's the same thing we were saying to the Human Rights Campaign in 2007. You want to say you support transgender people, you absolutely have to do it. Okay? Talking about it doesn't count. Saying, we're your allies, we support, but then offering no money and then throwing up your hands and saying, well, you know, now Cuomo won't talk about it. Sure, because you used up all your political capital on yourselves. You refused to make our rights conditional on your support, as you continue to. And then you hold up your hands and say, well, yeah, gosh, we're so sorry. And then you wonder why we don't trust you. Gosh, what a surprise, huh? Yeah, I know, shocking. The trans people feel fucked over by you people. Betrayed by hypocrites who don't remember where they came from, who say, we've got ours now, so we've now become the discriminator class. Yeah, because that's what it is. Congratulations, you've gone from being the discriminated to joining the discriminators. You guys must be so proud. I mean, that's what it is. I'm sorry, I know that sounds harsh. And I know that in the case, that is certainly not the case in for many gay and lesbian folks. But as far as the activists in the New York community, as far as those people who were cheering Cuomo, completely ignoring his bigotry towards transgender people, his unwillingness to even mention us. They're saying, rah, rah, marriage, 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 rah, rah. I'm sorry. I don't find that to be credible. I just don't. I don't think those are the actions of an ally. I don't think those are the actions of anyone that considers trans people equals or our rights as equal values. I'm sorry. And I think we have a right to call you out on it. I think we'll continue. I certainly will. I'm sorry. I think we deserve better, and I don't believe that you have the right to define yourself as an ally. All right. I am going to go because my voice is falling down. My voice is, yeah, I mean, you can hear it. I'm losing my voice. So I am going to end this show a little bit early. I want to say, as always, thank you for sticking around. Thank you for supporting this media. Thank you for supporting this media. And we'll catch you next week. Have a good night, everybody.